Welcome to the Edge Podcast. My name is Brian Hassenbauer, and on today's show, we have Demri Henry, performance consultant at the Center for Sales Strategy. Today, we will be discussing how to set the stage for productive meetings. Before we start our conversation with Demri, I wanted to tell you a little bit about her. Prior to joining the Center for Sales Strategy in 2010 as a performance consultant, Demri served as the chief marketing officer for a financial firm in Dallas, led the sales efforts of over 70 account executives as the NTR director for CBS Radio, and she pioneered the integrated marketing executive sales position at Susquehanna. So let's hear what Demri has to say about setting the stage for productive meetings.
Hi, Demri. Thanks for joining us today on the Edge Podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Brian. Nice to be here.
Yeah, well, we're glad you can make it. So today we're going to be talking about setting the stage for productive meetings, which focuses on meetings with prospects, not necessarily like sales meetings or conferences. I mean, it seems intuitive to say that having productive meetings is important, but, what impact does it have if you don't have productive meetings with prospects? I mean, have you ever heard stories about sellers kind of just spinning their wheels with appointment after appointment after appointment, but they don't really get any sales out of it because they're failing to really set the stage for what we're trying to call a productive meeting?
Oh, absolutely. And what's interesting about that is that, when you talk to sellers, about the meetings that they're having and the meetings that they're having with prospects and where they are in the stage and why they believe they're not getting to the next stage in the sales process, very rarely will they ever say, I don't think I'm having very productive meetings. What they'll typically say is something to the effect like, well, it's not really a good fit, or they don't have the budget, or they're not interested right now, or we had a good first meeting, but I can't get them on the phone for a second meeting, or perhaps they were able to maybe have a second meeting, but they're still sort of in that spinning the wheels cycle. And again, I think it's mainly because they're not, like you said, setting the stage to have a really productive meeting. And that's critical because, I always think about that song by Eminem, you get one chance, one opportunity, do not miss your chance to blow this opportunity. And I feel like when a salesperson gets in front of, their prospect, they really do have one opportunity to make that prospect believe that they have specific expertise, to really help them grow their business, and that they have one opportunity to really showcase that they have capacity to understand their business and that they really have the intellect to offer valuable business solutions. And, I don't think that you can just kind of fake that. And you do have to prepare if you want to be able to showcase and demonstrate those qualities to your prospect. But so often, salespeople just go in and rather than thinking about how can I help my prospect, grow their business and how can I understand their business more so that I can offer valuable solutions, unfortunately, most of them are kind of thinking about their own products. And so they don't really feel like they have to prepare because they know all about their products. So their mission is to go in there and talk about why their products are so great and why they need to buy their products.
Yeah, and when you mentioned that Eminem song, it makes me think about some sellers and the lyrics. His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy, there's vomit on his sweater already, mom's spaghetti. He's nervous, but on the surface, he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps forgetting what he wrote down, the whole crowd goes so loud. And you're all reading that off of the screen. But yeah, a lot of sellers get really nervous, and they kind of forget what they're there for in the pitch, and they just had a terrible meeting, and a lot of it's preparation, like you're saying. So, one thing that talking about spinning your wheels, I mean, how do you really measure productive meetings? Because I know a lot of sellers think, volume is more important than quality, where they're trying to set, an appointment every day, two, three appointments a day, every week, but yet they're not really the top seller and they're not closing business. So how do you really measure productivity for sellers, how do you determine what's productive and what's not?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And you know what, when I think about that, Brian, I think of that the notion begin with the end in mind. And so what I think is important is for every seller, before they have a meeting, they need to set some goals and objectives for themselves for that particular meeting so that they can measure the success of that meeting. And every meeting might be a little bit different. So that's why I do think it is important before every single meeting to sit down and sort of establish what they're trying to learn and what they want to achieve, you know, and then based on that, reflect on it after the meeting and say, was I able to accomplish what I wanted to accomplish? And, you know, when you're thinking about, you know, it's really and truly, it is the very first meeting with a prospect. I mean, your goals and objectives are really to learn, you know, how your prospect, you know, makes money. What's the how is their company profitable? You know, which services are most profitable? You know, learning about their customers or their patients, if you're talking about a doctor, you know, understanding about their staff and even employee turnover, I believe, is important. And I think that some salespeople might not even think about that, but it has a lot to do with how an organization is operated. And that's a big chunk of information that can really help a salesperson even potentially identify roadblocks and hurdles along the way. You know, and what do they want to be and where do they want to be in 5 years? Where do they want their business to be? And, you know, do they have a strategy to get them there? And it's not always just a marketing strategy. I mean, what's their business strategy? You know, and you're really trying to identify roadblocks and challenges, you know, that could get in the way. And then also opportunities that are really going to help them grow. So when you think about all of the information that you're trying to get in that first meeting, you know, as you're trying to showcase your expertise and demonstrate that you have the capacity to help them grow their business and also showcase your intellect, it's really important to ask smart questions so that they feel like, wow, this person can really help me. This person understands my business. They're asking questions that I can tell they know how, you know, my business runs or operates, or they know what's important to me. And so it's going to start knocking down walls and they're going to start revealing a lot more information. But it's hard to get that information from someone if they don't really believe that you can help them. And so, right. You know, that's why it's critical to really plan before and figure out what are my goals and objectives and what do I need to learn in this meeting and what do I want to happen after the meeting? So what is my next step? So already identify what that next step is and make sure that you try to accomplish that, you know, during that meeting.
Yeah, I've heard that, you know, with media specifically becoming more of a commoditized product that, you know, you can buy it from anyone, but you really want to buy it from the people that understand your business and aren't just selling a product. They're actually, you know, giving you solutions to your business challenges. So yeah, if you can definitely demonstrate that in that first meeting, I mean, that's definitely going to go a long way to
right.
building rapport and really doing
right.
that.
Well,
so,
I think it's critical. I mean, there's so many media salespeople, and not just media salespeople. I mean, you know, I want to be fair, it's salespeople in all industries. You know, one of the things that and if you talk to them about, okay, what are some specific questions that we need to make sure and ask our prospects, you know, in the very beginning, oftentimes you'll hear, oh, we want to know what their budget is. That's what we want to know. We've got to make sure we figure out what the budget is. And do they have a budget for this? Can they be a viable customer? And while I agree, you know, understanding and knowing their budget is really important, it's definitely not the first question to ask. And there is an order of questions. I sort of look at that as if you're going on a date for the first time and it's your first date and you're like, so, Brian, you're really nice. How much money do you make? I'm sorry, we're not really there yet. You know, you have to build up to get that sort of important information, and you do have to spend time, you know, building rapport, but also even more important than building rapport, because it's great if they like you, they have to believe that you can really help them grow their business. And that takes showcasing your intellect and knowing what you know about their business.
Yeah, and I love that analogy of meetings and dating, you know, and the progression
yeah.
of what you want to have as a conversation and questions to ask on the first date versus, you know, the fifth date, things like that. I could almost do a whole podcast just on those type of relationships because I think that's really interesting. So, you know, you've given us a few guidelines for setting productive meetings. What are some things that you don't want to do when trying to set up a meeting with the prospect? You know, are there certain venues that you shouldn't, you know, say, let's go meet here? Or are there certain topics that you don't want to discuss publicly?
Yeah, I think that that's a great question. So, again, you know, we always have to go back and think about what are our goals and objectives. So we go back there and figure out how to move forward. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, there's been situations I know, and I've talked to sales reps about this particularly, where they've been working really hard to get an appointment with a prospect. And finally, they get a meeting, but the prospect wants to meet rather than at their office, they want to meet at a restaurant, like after work and sort of have a drink. And so their thought is, what do I do? You know, how am I going to be able to have a meeting in this scenario? Well, my suggestion is definitely, I mean, obviously go. I mean, if you're going to be able to get this first meeting and this is where they're comfortable, and obviously if they're saying, let's meet, you know, for a drink after work, then that means that they really do want to build rapport. Like that's an important phase in the relationship for them. And so you have to go and you have to do that, but you also have to realize that, you know, it's going to be very difficult to get all the critical information that you really need in that setting and in that amount of time. I mean, we don't have an unlimited amount of time. So if you're just going to meet for an hour or an hour and a half and, you know, have a few drinks and build rapport, my suggestion would be to go on the meeting, you know, build some rapport, have the introductions, and then say, you know, very quickly in that meeting, say, hey, you know what? I actually prepared some questions that I would like to ask you, but I really don't think that this is a great setting to do it. I'd prefer to be in your office because I like to get my computer out, but I'm having a lot of fun right now and I'm liking, you know, I really enjoying getting to know you. Can we just, you know, maybe just have a little bit more fun and get to know each other, and then maybe schedule a second meeting and then we can kind of dive deeper. But right now, let's not dive deep. Let's just kind of continue to get to know each other. That would be my suggestion, because if you try to, you know, get out your computer or get out a pen and paper and start writing stuff down, it's going to be awkward. It's very clear that the prospect wasn't prepared or wanting to do any of that. So you kind of have to meet them where they are and just be prepared to regroup. And also don't try to force it, though, because if you try to force all of that in that meeting, it could be a disaster.
Yeah, that's some great advice. And you almost just have to go with the flow and kind of read the prospect and what they're
right.
looking at to get out of it. I mean, if really, if they just truly want to get to know you better, have a few drinks, have dinner, you know, that might be their intent. And maybe,
right.
you know, later on you can move it to that next meeting. So, you know, the bar is probably not the best place to do your, you know, needs analysis and then dig into their budgets and revenue and all that. So what are other, like, venues or what other situations do you really not want to, you know, kind of broach with a client? Do you want to take them to, like, a restaurant to, you know, have a big meeting? Or what's the best place to set up a productive meeting?
Well, in my opinion, I think the best place is in an office setting where you can, you know, get a pen and paper out and write, get your computer out. If you're going to be doing a really thorough needs analysis, you might be showing them some documents to review. You might be getting their opinion on some certain documents. So you want to make sure that those documents are pretty easily accessible. You don't have to shuffle through your stuff to get them. You know, I think it's obviously important to, you know, figure out a way to capture the information you're getting, whether it's either writing it down or typing it. And so you want to make sure that you have room for that. You know, and also you want to make sure that you set the stage and you set the tone to really help the prospect know that this is what we're doing right now. Like, we're going to focus, I have lots of questions I want to ask, and you want to put them in an environment where they're really comfortable, you know, asking those questions. And also for the sales rep, I mean, it's important that they're in an environment that they feel comfortable asking the questions too. So, you know, if they've made notes or if they have them all typed out, that they're in a place where they can easily access that and get it and go through the meeting the way that they had intended. if you're in a, you know, in a bar or a restaurant or a place like that, you know, it's difficult sometimes to stay organized and, you know, shuffle everything over, move the plates over. I think that those meetings are great, and I think that they're an important part of the business relationship. I just don't think that it's the greatest place or even a good place to do a needs analysis, you know, with the prospect for the first time.
And so just a few other things, you know, in terms of guidelines for productive meetings, should you always have an agenda kind of clearly outlined, or can it somewhat be fluid as to how the agenda develops or what you talk about?
I think it's important to have an agenda, but I also think it's important in the very beginning of the meeting to, you know, partner and contract with the prospect and say, I've created an agenda, and these are the specific things that I want to make sure we cover during this meeting. Is there anything else that you think is important that we need to add to this list? You know, it's very important that the salesperson run the meeting and sort of controls that meeting, but asking the prospect, you know, for their input is good. It's also good to have an agenda because it lets the prospect know that you're really serious, that you're buttoned up, that you value their time, that you've taken the time to sort of categorize what the meeting is going to look like. And so it's an important process and it's an important part of the meeting. It's also important to let them know exactly how long the meeting is going to be. Hopefully that is something that, you know, they contract and partner in the very beginning, but also sort of reiterating it right in the beginning with the agenda is definitely a good idea.
So what if you've, you know, done this contracting, you have an agenda, what if the prospect's like just distracted and has people coming in and out of the meeting and he gets up and leaves a few times and comes back? How do you, you know, get them back to, you know, having that productive meeting if they're just not in the right place?
If you can tell that they are really distracted and they're trying, you know, to keep their word and keep their meeting, but it's a difficult situation, my suggestion would be to say, hey, I can tell you've got a lot going on right now, and there seems to be a lot of people who are needing to talk to you, and you've got a lot of things sort of flying at you. Why don't we reschedule? And that is totally fine with me. Show a little bit. It's an opportunity to showcase empathy and understanding, and also let the client know that the salesperson is not all about them and what they want, that they understand that they're trying to run a business and they get it. It is important to have a meeting where there are no interruptions so that you can have a productive meeting and get the information that you want. And if that's not happening and it's causing frustration, and it's making, you know, the prospect, you know, they're having to deal with things that perhaps they weren't planning on dealing with, you know, taking the time to showcase a little bit of empathy in that situation would be a good thing. My suggestion would be just to make sure that they have the meeting scheduled before they leave. So don't leave without scheduling the follow-up meeting or the second meeting.
Right. Yeah, I remember hearing a story, I think it was actually Jim Hopes, our CEO, that was talking about this, where his person he was going to meet with seemed to be exhibiting symptoms of a kidney stone during the meeting and kept like leaving the room and just like holding his side and pretty much, you know, falling over on the floor in pain, but not in the room they were having the meeting. He would leave the room to do that and then come back in. And I believe the solution was just what you said, you know, hey, I see that you've got something going on. You apparently need to see a doctor.
Right.
Maybe we can have this meeting a different day. You know, how's, you know,
right,
a couple days after you get out of the hospital.
Absolutely. So, right. I mean, we're all human and stuff happens. And when stuff happens, we need to recognize it and be understanding and showcase empathy for sure. And the good thing about that situation is it gives a really great, you know, the next meeting, you're going to have something to talk about, probably going to get a good laugh out of it. So you're doing a good job building rapport there.
Yeah, there you go. You can take a look at their kidney stones if they want to bring
That's
it to
right.
the next meeting.
right.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, you've had this productive meeting, everything went as planned. So how do you really get the next step? You know, like when we're talking about dating, you know, you and I are on a date and I'm thinking it's going great and I'm getting all the right signs, Maybe I misread a few things, but how do you make sure you're progressing the sale and progressing?
Well, I will tell you what, Brian, if you and I were on a date and all you were doing was talking about yourself and how awesome you were and all the great things that you've accomplished, I might be smiling, but I would not be thinking the date was going so well. I would want to make sure that you were really interested in me and asking me lots of questions, you know, about myself, about what I think or what I believe. And again, we're having this whole dating parallel, and I think it's perfect because so often salespeople will go into meetings and, again, just talk about themselves, talk about their capabilities or what they have to offer or their some awards that they've just won or, you know, some new products that they have coming out. And they don't take time to ask enough questions. And I think that that's critical. You have got to ask the right questions and you've got to ask enough of them. And so for me, I think it's important. I always tell people, you know, write the questions down. And you know, you're not going to read them word for word, but if you write all the questions down that you know you want to ask, it's going to really help you stay on track during the meeting because you're going to know, you know, say, for instance, you've written 40 questions and you know if you're on question 25 that, wow, you've got 15 more questions to go and, you know, you're already halfway through the meeting. And so you've got to speed up the pace a little bit so that you can stay on time, maybe stop telling so many stories in between his answers or whatever. But you've got to find a way to stay on target and on track and make sure that you're getting the information you need and that you don't forget anything. I mean, so often, you know, you'll get back to the office and kind of look at your notes and realize, wow, I forgot a really important piece of information. I didn't ask that question. So if you write the questions down, you know, you're gonna remember them, obviously, and it's gonna really help you stay on track.
And so, you know, you think about dating using that parallel again, that usually the next step is another date.
Right.
However, with appointments and prospects and sales, it's not always going to be another in-person meeting. It could be, you know, a phone call. It could be, you know, a document you need to produce. So how do you go about, you know, letting the person know what that follow-up is and kind of contracting for what you're going to do for them afterwards? How do you kind of tell them the next step?
So we definitely need to have the next step plan, you know, before we go into the meeting so that we can clearly communicate that. And the next step could be a variety of things. I mean, it could be, okay, you know what, I've taken a lot of notes here, and I really appreciate you giving me all of this information. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to my office, and I'm going to kind of go through these notes and organize them, and I'm going to send you an email back that really sort of highlights the key points and the main things that I've learned from you today. And what I want you to do when you get that email is just look at it and make sure that I'm on track and make sure that I'm on target. I just want to make sure that I'm on the same page. So it could be as simple as saying, I'm going to go back to the office, craft an email and send it to you. And I'm going to want your opinion. I'm going to want your feedback based on, you know, what I've gathered today. And just letting them know that that's happening, sort of contracting that they will indeed look at the email and they will give you their feedback. That's one thing. I mean, the other thing could be, you know, perhaps you need some information. Perhaps you asked a question that they didn't know the answer to. Maybe they need to get that information from their accountant. So it could be the assignment of them going to talk to their accountant to get some information about the revenue or, you know, profit ratios, whatever, and then they're going to email that to you. So it's just really important just to make sure that you do that right after the meeting. It also could be that, you know what, we've covered a lot here, but I don't feel like I feel like there's a lot more that we need to cover. We just don't have enough time. Let's schedule a follow-up meeting and do it right then and there. And I can guarantee you, if the salesperson has done a really great job of showcasing their expertise, of really showcasing, you know, their intellect and demonstrating that they have a capacity to help them grow their business, they're going to get a second meeting. They're going to get that return email. They're going to get that information from the accountant about the revenue. They're absolutely going to get it. But those specific things are critical.
Yeah, those are all great ways to get that next appointment or the next follow-up action item completed. So here's another parallel to dating. Communication methods. Do you text your prospects as follow-up, or, you know, what is your thought on that for keeping things productive and on a business level? Is that something that you would typically do as a follow-up? Like if you have questions,
you know,
text them real quick?
That's a great question. And I think what's important, and that's a really good point. I think it's important that the salesperson always ask their prospect, what's the best way to communicate with you? Some people love email. Some people prefer text. Some people prefer to get a phone call or a voicemail. You know, what do you prefer? And you'll find that if you ask that question, they will always tell you exactly what they prefer. And most often they tell you what they do not like either. They'll say, you know, I really prefer emails. For God's sakes, don't leave me a voicemail. I never check my voicemail.
Right.
You know,
that's
so
funny.
I think it's important to ask.
Yeah, because, you know, one of my wife's girlfriends actually is like an over-texter, and it just drives her crazy. She's like, oh my gosh, she texted me 15 times to ask me if I want to go to a movie tonight. I'm like, if she does that to her boyfriend, you know, she's probably going to drive them all away. So yeah,
right.
I mean, that could drive the prospect crazy if you're, you know, texting them or calling and leaving messages.
Right.
They don't check.
Well, and if you're texting and you're not getting a response, I mean, my goodness, you need to be patient and wait for a response. I mean, give it some time. Obviously not 15 times in one day. That would be ridiculous. And if you're texting and they're not responding, then that's a sign to try a different, you know, means of communication. You know, perhaps pick up the phone and say, hey, I've left you some texts. I noticed you haven't responded yet. And, you know, and then kind of go forward with the message.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a great point is, you know, sometimes these follow-ups that you send, you know, they're not always answered as quickly as you'd like. So I know we have a process here for getting an appointment called Don't Give Up at the Center for Sales Strategy. Could you also even use that for someone you had a meeting with and you need to follow up with? I mean, should you be using email, phone calls, doing some different things, sending them a new, you know, VBR?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you have a meeting and, you know, you're kind of in the second stage and you're not getting a response, you should definitely, you know, I prefer email and sending an email. Hey, I sent you some information. I know you've been extremely busy. It's really, really critical too, by the way, is to showcase some empathy either in the voicemail or the email. You know, don't be accusatory or aggressive and be like, what's up? I've sent you some emails. You haven't responded. I mean, it needs to be like, hey there, I know I sent you some information last week. I sent you a lot of information, actually, and you probably are super busy. I totally get that. Wanted to know if you've had an opportunity to review the material and look at the information, and I'm really looking forward to your feedback. You know, something that simple. And you could send that probably a couple of times and even follow up with that. Okay, now I kind of feel like I'm stalking you. And it could be like a funny thing, you know, you could kind of throw some humor in there, but I definitely would suggest don't give up. Just make sure that whenever you're reaching out, that you're being very respectful, you're being showcasing empathy, you know, for their time and what else, you know, everything else that they have going on and that you're being understanding, but you're also being direct. There is instances too where sometimes you're just not getting anywhere. And I always suggest in that situation, give the prospect a multiple choice, you know, answer and say, hey, I sent you this information a couple of times. You haven't responded. So I have three different scenarios that I'd like you to take a look at. And can you tell me which one applies to the situation? Either A, you're super busy and you haven't had time to look over the material yet. B, you've looked over the material and you are not interested in moving forward. Or C, you have looked at the material, you are interested, you just haven't had an opportunity to get back with me, but you would like to talk to me in the next week or two.
Yeah, or give them the D option is, hey, you want a contract and my fax number so you can send it to me.
Right. Yeah, yeah, you could do that.
You never know where they're headed. So it's great.
You got to try a bunch of different ways.
Yeah, that's exactly true. So, I mean, it sounds like the follow-up is almost as important of a process to having a productive meeting as the setup of the meeting.
I think the follow-up is equally critical because it showcases how you do business. It lets them see what to expect from you in the future. And that's critical, you know. So, you know, the follow-up is really important.
Yeah, I mean, I would almost, you know, venture to say that the difference between a productive meeting and moving to the next step is the follow-up.
Right, I agree. The going from the next phase to the other, you know, you've got to keep the momentum going, but you also have to realize that every single step is an opportunity to showcase your expertise, your skills, you know, your capabilities, your intellect. And so you have to utilize every single one of those opportunities to really prove to your prospect that you can help them with their business and really prove that you're going to be a valuable partner. So that's what it's all about, and just taking every single opportunity you can to showcase that.
Yeah, no doubt. So I mean, those are a lot of great tips on how to make sure you're having productive meetings. Just to recap a few, it sounds like contracting with the prospect, you know, what's going to be covered in the meeting, how things are going to kind of lay out, make sure you have a productive meeting space and it's appropriate for the conversation. And then have great follow-ups. I mean, does that sound about like the tips that you'd like to pass on?
Right, absolutely. And I would also say prepare for the meeting. You know, make sure that if it's a prospect that you haven't, like if it's an industry perhaps that you don't know a tremendous amount about, then you really do need to spend some time in researching it. And, you know, with all of our online tools, it's super easy to do. It also might be somebody that you know that could really give you some insight about that industry or the business, and make sure that you do that due diligence before you go in and talk to them. You know, I talked to a doctor here in Dallas, and I asked him about, you know, reps trying to call him and get meetings with him. And he said that one of the things that really turned him off all the time is when he felt like a cold call. He's like, I don't want to feel like a cold call. And I can always tell when a sales rep is cold calling me. And I thought that was very interesting. And I totally get that. I mean, business owners and, you know, the executives, the people that we need to meet with to talk about their business, the ones that really affect and influence change, they don't want to feel like a cold call. They want to know that, you know, you're important, that you took the time to get some information about them before you just assumed you could help them.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm sure people pick up on the cold call script sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So preparation is critical.
Yes. Preparation and, you know, making sure that you're really, you know, doing what we're talking about, you know, setting the stage up front of how you're going to have a productive meeting, what it's going to include, what the questions are, and just, yeah, really preparing. So, you know, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. So if people have more questions about, you know, how to set productive meetings or other sales topics, how can they connect with you?
They can email me directly. That would be the best way, at demryhenry@pssenter.com. Definitely not 15 texts. Please don't do that.
That's great. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to call us today. And I'm going to close it out by going back to that Eminem song that you mentioned, Lose Yourself, this motivation.
Oh, I think that's perfect. That is perfect. That's like the number one motivational song of all time.
There you go. And we've read a blog about that, of course. So we'll have to mention that blog within this blog. So here we go. Look, if you had one shot or one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, one moment, would you capture it or just let it slip? Yo. This is the end of the podcast. Yeah, there you go. Well, great. Thanks so much, Demry, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Thanks, Brian. Have a great day.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to the Edge podcast, and we hope you join us next week as we discuss inbound marketing, lead generation, digital marketing, sales training, and more. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast in the iTunes store so you don't miss an episode.